You know, we have been focusing on building a house of prayer to the Lord. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, what we've been really focusing on is being able to overcome through prayer the obstacles and the just the mess that Satan puts in front of us, okay? You know, we look at those kinds of things in a sense as strongholds. In other words, those are the things that Satan uses to try to hold us in bondage to him. And one of the things that we talked about was that, you know, though all of us are not going to struggle with the same strongholds, we are going to struggle with some, okay? Because Satan is working diligently, and that's what we refer to as spiritual warfare. He's working diligently to try to hold us to him and to steal away our hope in God. And so what we're focusing on now is you know, these some of these various strongholds that we face in our lives, that things that we can do, and especially through prayer, how can we work at overcoming those strongholds that Satan holds us in? Last week we were talking about the idolatry stronghold and how, you know, we can find ourselves involved in idolatry in ways that we probably never even thought of before. Well, this morning, what I want us to focus on for a few minutes is one that I think probably, if we're all really honest about it, I think it's one that we, from time to time, struggle with. Because this is one of Satan's biggest weapons. That's the unbelief stronghold. We need to talk about unbelief this morning, you see. We talk an awful lot about belief, don't we? Typically, we talk a lot about belief, we talk a lot about faith. We need to talk for a few minutes about unbelief. Okay? And, you know, I want you to think about the story that we read at the very beginning, Chuck read for us. Let's kind of make sure we understand the setting. This is right after the Transfiguration. And Jesus comes down from the mountain, and there's this apparently this crowd of people that are gathered around the disciples because this father has brought his son wanted them to come to Jesus, but Jesus obviously wasn't there. He's up on the mountain. So, you know, ask the disciples. And they can't do anything about this demon that this is possessing this young man. But when Jesus arrives on the scene, then the father of this young man approaches Jesus with his situation and his circumstance. So that's the setting, okay, for what we want to talk about and focus on this morning. So just kind of hang on to that for a minute, and let's talk for just a moment about belief and unbelief. You know, one of the things that we have to understand about this unbelief stronghold is that believing in God is just simply not good enough. Okay? Now, that may be a shock to some of you who are going, well, wait a minute. What about John 3:16? All we got to do is believe and we'll be saved, right? Well, we need to understand some things about belief and unbelief and about what believing in God can oftentimes lead to with Satan. See? And that's why I say believing in God isn't enough. Believing that God exists is different than believing what God says. Think about that a minute. There's a world of difference between believing that God exists, that is, i.e., believing in God, okay, versus believing what God says in His Word. There are an awful lot of people in the world today who believe in God. Okay? In fact, and I've mentioned this before, survey after survey after survey, year after year they take the same surveys, and they basically come about the same 85 to 87, 88% of people in America claim that they believe in God. But look at the state of our country. Look at the immorality and all the stuff we've got going on. How can 85% of Americans believe in God and yet we still live immorally? If believing in God was enough. You see, the problem is that we may have 85 to 87, 88% of people that believe in God, but we have a very small amount of people who actually believe what God says. And there is a tremendous difference. If you believe in God, that is, you believe that He exists, that doesn't necessarily carry over into your daily life. But if you believe God, that is, you believe what He says, then that can't help but cause you to obey His Word. If you only believe in Him, then His Word's not really that important to you. You see the difference between those two? I can believe in Him, and yeah, I've read the Bible a few times, and yeah, it's a good book. It's got a lot of good history stuff in there, but so what? Oh, do people really try to live by that? Not if they only believe in God. Because if you believe God, that is, if you believe His Word, what He says, then you believe the promises that God has made. Both the promises of blessing and the promises of punishment. See how important that really is? Do you really believe what God says in His Word? If you believe that yes, indeed, God promised to bless those who are faithful, then you're going to live according to what God has said, so you will receive those blessings as well as living so that you don't receive the punishment. Because you believe that God said He's going to bless those who bless Him and He's going to curse those who curse Him. You believe that. If you only believe in God, then those things don't really matter a whole lot. You see, it really comes down to a matter of taking God at His Word. Okay? Take Him at His Word. Either what He says in His Word is true, and He's going to follow through with it, or it's not. You see? Now, if it's true, then we better be paying attention and we better be adjusting our lives accordingly. If it's not true, then you know what? Why bother? What's the point? You see? Other than that, it makes us feel good. Don't you feel good by being here? Yeah, okay. Well, you know, if that's all that it is, you know, okay, we feel good. Let's go on about our business. And you can go back to your jobs tomorrow. You can go back to school. You can go back to doing whatever it is you're doing and not give God another thought. You see? If it really doesn't matter. But if it does matter, if you really believe what God says, not just believe in God, but you really believe what He says, then when you go to school tomorrow, children, when you go to work tomorrow, folks, when you go about whatever it is you're going to do tomorrow and the next day, you are going to try to live your life according to that belief. See the difference? Now that brings us to the story of this young man who's possessed by the demon. I suggest to you the power in this story is not really with the young man, but it's with the father. That's what I want you to focus on with me for just a moment. You see? And look at the narrative there and let us be saying to God the same thing that this father said to Jesus, "Help me overcome my unbelief." Do you ever struggle? I mean, you know, I'm being honest with you. I do. I struggle with unbelief. Okay? Yeah. Now, Satan attacks me all the time with that. Stronghold. Okay? And just like this father, I need to ask God on a regular basis to help me overcome my unbelief. See? I want you to stop for just a moment, and if you need to, close your eyes, but I want you to try to put yourself in this story. Perhaps, you know, as a person in the crowd that's watching and listening to these events that are unfolding. And just try to picture in your mind's eye as these things are happening. And here is this young man that has been brought to Jesus by his father who has this demon in him that is uncontrollable, as demons usually were at that time and are today, at least by us. You see? And the father, how concerned do you picture this father as being? And when I read this narrative and I read the part of how Jesus says, how long has he been like this? And he says, since childhood. And it oftentimes, he says, throws him into the fire or into the water to kill him. Can you just see in your mind's eye the stress and the pain and the hurt that this father is feeling towards what's going on with his son? And how many times the father has tried and tried and tried to do something, whatever he could, to help his son, but realizing that he is powerless against this demon. And so the father has brought his son, and here are the disciples, and he pleads with them. And they can't do anything. And so then the discussion with Jesus. I want you to look at what it says here. When Jesus asked him, verse 21, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus' first response is, if you can, if you can. You understand the nature of how Jesus is responding to him. You say, what do you mean, if you can? If you can? What does that statement have just oozing out of it? Doubt. Where's that doubt come from? Satan. He's been using it since the Garden of Eden. Remember that. Did God really say? You see? And that statement, you see, to Jesus, this man is going, if you can. I'm not sure that you can, but if you can, if there's any way possible that you can help us, can you just sense the desperation in this father? I remember when my daughter was just an infant. This was back when I was still a trooper. We were living over in Colonial Heights, and she was just an infant, and she got hurt, and if I remember correctly, Cindy can correct me if I'm wrong. I'm sure she remembers the details better than I do. I think she got something in her eye. And we were trying to, you know, take care of this situation. She was really crying. She was hurting and so forth. And here am I, this, you know, tough, rough and tough state trooper deals with, you know, guns and death and all that kind of stuff all the time. And I was struggling because this is my daughter. My baby, my infant daughter is in pain and I can't figure out what to do to stop it. Moms, dads, you ever felt that way? Yeah, you know what it's like. You know what it's like when your child is hurting and you can't figure out what's going on and wishing you could so you could do something to stop the pain. Well, that was just something that she had in her eye, you know. And I was panicking. I never forget that. And here this father has had a son who, since his childhood, has been tormented by this demon. Do you begin to be able to try to sense his desperation at that moment when he says to Jesus, "If you can." And Jesus responds back to him, "If you can, everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately, I love this next statement. I really, absolutely love this next statement. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Now, doesn't that sound like a contradiction? I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. It's not really a contradiction if you think about it. It's really, I think, a lot like many of us are in our lives. We believe to a certain extent. We believe in. But then when it comes right down to it, we need help to overcome our unbelief as to whether God can and will do what He promised that He would do. You see, if you think about it and put yourself in that father's position, but just fill in the blank for whatever the issue, whatever the faith struggle that you're having in your life is at any given moment. Maybe it's a marriage that's not working. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's a job problem. Maybe it's some other relationship problem where it's with a friend or a neighbor or a lifelong friend or whatever. Just fill in the blank. And we typically, don't we, will struggle through those things trying to do everything we can to fix the problem. And oftentimes, the more we try, the worse it gets. Been there? Yeah, me too. And then, in desperation, we call upon God and say, "God, if you can do anything to help me with this situation." I wonder sometimes if God's not sitting up there and replying the same way that Jesus did to this man. It's kind of going, when are they going to get it? When is it going to sink in? They keep saying, "If you can." And what we need to be saying is, "I know you can." And ask God, give us what we need for whatever that situation and circumstance is. You see, we need to be coming to God and asking Him to do the same thing that this father was doing on that day. Help me overcome my unbelief as I face whatever this situation is that I'm looking at and seeing all the impossibilities for. Help me overcome my unbelief. You see, again, many people believe in the concept, thus believing in Him. But what He wants us to do is to overcome our unbelief by believing Him. Believing in His promises. As we talked about last week, do you believe Do you believe Him when He says, "My grace is sufficient for you"? Do you believe it? Or do you just believe in Him? Oh yes, God is powerful. Maybe He'll help me, maybe He won't. Do you believe Him when He says, "My grace is sufficient"? I want you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1, and let's finish up with an awesome, awesome, powerfully thought here. Ephesians chapter 1. You believe in God or do you believe God? That's the question that we need to focus on in our lives as we face whatever it is we're facing. Either you believe in Him or you believe Him. You're going to be like the masses who believe in Him, or you're going to be like the few who believe Him. Okay? Read with me as we look at Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. The Apostle Paul, praying for the church in Ephesus, says this: "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know," and he mentions three things here that he's praying that they would know. Okay? Number one, he says, the hope to which He has called you. Number two, he says, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And look at number three. Verse 19, His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you understand what He is saying right here? So when you find yourself facing something in life, whether it's today, tomorrow, the next day, whenever, it's going to come, okay? All right, you realize that. When, not if, but when you face it, are you going to face it by saying, "If you can," or are you going to face it knowing and understanding that God has... Excuse me, what kind of power is that? No. Incomparably great power. What does that mean? Think about it a minute. What does that mean? Incomparably, that means nothing can compare to that. There is absolutely no other power in all of the universe that can compare to the power of God. That's what it says. And that's what it means. And he illustrates how that power, how powerful that power is, okay? By saying, you know what? That's the same power that God used when He raised Jesus from the dead and set Him at the right hand of God. Wow! That's some power, isn't it? You see? That's power that you and I have available to us. It is His incomparably great power. And we're talking about strongholds here. You need to understand, Satan doesn't have any power that compares to God's. Do you understand what I'm saying here? You see? So why should we go to God with doubt and say to Him concerning this problem, "If you can"? You see? If we truly believe Him when He says nothing compares to His power, do you believe it? You see? So that whatever struggle you're facing, you know that on your behalf you have the greatest power that exists in the universe, and nothing compares to it. Satan doesn't have anything in his bag of tricks that can overcome the incomparably great power of God. It doesn't exist. Okay? Do you believe that? Thank you. Ray does. I'm not sure about the rest of you. Do you understand? You see, as we're facing stuff in our lives, those obstacles that seem so overwhelming and so impossible that we so often fall back and rest on our belief in God and hoping that He might be able to help us with this, versus being able to face it with confidence and a belief in what God says and what He has, so that I don't have to worry about this obstacle, this whatever it is that Satan has thrown in my path today, because I have a God who has incomparably great power. Did you notice, by the way, that he specifies there who that power is for? Did you notice that? His incomparably great power for those who believe, okay? You see how all that works? You see? That incomparably great power is only available for those who believe. But not just believe in Him, but believe Him. And you and I have that power available to us in our lives every single day. If you believe it. If you believe it. Not believe in Him only, but believe Him. Okay? Because there is, as I said, a world of difference. The question then becomes, what do you believe? Do you believe just in Him, or do you believe Him? What are you going to do? Because you see, the reality is, every single one of us from time to time in our lives are going to find ourselves just like that father. Is faced with some kind of difficulty, something that's going on, where we find ourselves perhaps in feeling desperate, and we come to Jesus and say, help me to overcome this. And even to the point of having to say, help me overcome my unbelief. Because that's the obstacle that's standing between you and me right now. Help me overcome my unbelief. Where do you put yourself in that scene? Okay. Something going on in your life that maybe you've tried everything you know how to work it out and it's just not happening. You find yourself maybe believing in God, but haven't found yourself to the point where you're believing God that He really can do what He says He can do. Maybe you find yourself at the point where you're ready to say, God, help me overcome my unbelief. If that's where you are this morning, then let's bring that before God. And asking for His incomparably great power to work in your life, whatever it is that's going on. For anyone that's here this morning that is not a Christian, you have not given your life to Christ yet, you need to understand and realize that you are lost in your sin. You're separated from God. And as long as you continue in the way that you're going, in other words, not giving your life to Christ, you're going to continue to stay separated. But you can remedy that right now this morning by giving your life to Christ, by calling upon Him as your Lord, repenting of the sins, those sins, because they're separating you from Him. And you can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now if you're ready to make that commitment. Do you believe that God has the power to take away your sins? You say, to remove them. Whatever your need is, we can't help you with it if we don't know what it is. So we offer an invitation time for you to come and let me or someone else know what your need is. I'll be up here to receive anyone who wants to come. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to go back and talk with him privately, have a private prayer with him, then he'll be back there to receive you. But the invitation is open to you for anyone to come and to let us do what we can to help you and to bring you before the Lord. Wes, if you'll come up and lead us, please.